Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue with a reading from the book of Genesis. You remember that Joseph's brothers had come looking for food, and Joseph was unknown to them, but he recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Pharaoh had really made him the governor. He was found to be very pleasing to the leadership in Egypt, and though he certainly was not from there, and he had been captured because his brothers had connived to get him captured and taken away because they were jealous of him. And so here it is. It looked like it was an evil thing, and it was. And yet God made everything work together for the good, for Joseph and ultimately his brothers too. Genesis chapter 44, verses 18 to 21, 23 to 29, and then chapter 45, verses 1 to 5. Judah approached Joseph and said, "I beg you, my lord." Now this is his brother, approaching his brother, but he doesn't know it's his brother. Judah approached Joseph and said, "I beg you, my lord, let your servant speak earnestly to my lord, and do not become angry with your servant, for you are the equal of Pharaoh. My lord, ask your servants, have you a father or another brother?" So we said to my lord, "We have an aged father and a young brother, the child of his old age. This one's full brother is dead, and since he is the only one by that mother who has left, his father dotes on him. And then you told your servants, 'Bring him down to me that my eyes may look on him.' Unless your youngest brother comes back with you, you shall not come into my presence again. When we returned to your servant, our father, we reported to him the words of my lord. And later our father told us to come back and buy some food for the family. So we reminded him, 'We cannot go down there. Only if our youngest brother is with us can we go, for we may not see the man if our youngest brother is not with us.' Then your servant, our father, said to us, 'As you know, my wife bore me two sons. One of them, however, disappeared, and I had to conclude that he must have been torn to pieces by wild beasts. I have not seen him since. If now you take this one away from me too, and some disaster befalls him, you will send my white head down to the netherworld in grief.'" Joseph could no longer control himself in the presence of all his attendants, so he cried out, "Have everyone withdraw from me." Thus no one else was about when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. But his sobs were so loud that the Egyptians heard him, and so the news reached Pharaoh's palace. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still in good health?" But his brothers could give him no answer, so dumbfounded were they at him. "Come closer to me," he told his brothers, and when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you once sold into Egypt. But now do not be distressed and do not reproach yourselves for having sold me here. It was really for the sake of saving lives that God sent me here ahead of you." His brothers betrayed him, sold him. But God used Joseph for great good, even in exile. And so Joseph is saying, do not be distressed, because God made it work for the good, and that's what's most important. Look at that greatness of heart. He could have had all his brothers executed, but his love for his father and his love for his brothers was greater. How about you? How are you? How do you handle very difficult situations? We can't do it on our own. We need God. We need God's heart. We need God's grace. Scriptures say, cry out to God full-throated and unsparingly. That's how we need to cry out to God. And he will help us, even though years went by. Instead of nurturing hatred and bitterness toward his brothers, he simply did what God was asking of him, or what God allowed him to do. He simply was obedient to Pharaoh. Pharaoh saw his integrity, respected him, and raised him up to basically be the governor. And he was the one who handled all the distribution of food, and therefore his family did not starve to death. And that's why he says, God knew. God knew. Do not be distressed. It was really for the sake of saving lives that God sent me here ahead of you. Brothers and sisters, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. Trust him, go to him, draw near to him, learn from him. The more you learn from him, the more you begin to understand how he thinks. We can't fully comprehend the mind of God, but we can begin to see his priorities. They're spelled out for us in the scriptures, but also in our personal relationship with him. We can see God making everything work together for the good unless we give in to anger, bitterness, desire for revenge. Then we block ourselves, we cripple ourselves, and we can't receive the grace that God has for us. If any of you listening to this program find yourselves kind of paralyzed or chained by unforgiveness, by bitterness, by hatred, by jealousy, by envy, repent for that to the Lord. The Lord's bigger than everything that's happened to you. He can bring justice to you. You can't. You'll only destroy yourself and those around you. But you give it to him and you follow him. Watch what he does. It may take several years like it did with Joseph. That's all right. God is working out our salvation if we cooperate with him. So please, brothers and sisters, please, take a look at what you're holding. What's it doing to you in your heart, your personality, even in your body? What's it doing to you? It cripples. It smothers. It squeezes a life out of. It destroys. Don't be bound by those kinds of chains. We bind ourselves thinking that we're getting at the people who have hurt us, but really we're hurting ourselves more than anyone else. Psalm 105, remember the marvels the Lord has done for us. Remember the marvels the Lord has done for us. It's very, very good in your own personal prayer. It's very good to take time several times a week, if not every day. Get into a habit of thanking God for what he's done for you in the past week, the past month. Every day, think of at least one thing to thank God for. And if you haven't been able to see it, you're not looking. Even in the midst of great difficulty, you're not looking. Okay? So ask God to give you eyes to see and ears to hear his goodness toward you. It will change you significantly. When you begin to live a life of thanksgiving instead of disappointment or anger or whatever, great grace will come to you. God will reveal himself to you. Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to his apostles, as you go, make this proclamation. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts. No sack for the journey, or a second tunic, or sandals, or walking stick. The laborer deserves his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, look for a worthy person in it and stay there until you leave. As you enter a house, wish it peace. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If not, let your peace return to you. Whoever will not receive you or listen to your words, go outside that house or town and shake the dust from your feet. Amen, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. Now that's quite a statement. Sodom and Gomorrah were the an awful, awful lot of very sinful people lived. And Sodom and Gomorrah ended up being destroyed. And yet Jesus says here, it will be more tolerable for the land, meaning the people of that land, the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment, than for that town. What he's saying is, if a town rejects you, who are my apostles, and does not receive you, and does not provide for you, and does not care for you, that town will receive a worse judgment than Sodom and Gomorrah. Now that's really something, but that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Brothers and sisters, when we love him and desire to follow him and give him our lives fully and seek to follow his agenda, so to speak, when we really genuinely are his disciples and we're trying to do good for others, he will take care of us. He will provide for us. He will protect us. So, I mean, we can take a walking stick with us. Jesus' point is, I will provide for you. You don't need all those things. He's saying that to his apostles because he cared for them, because they were to be the foundation of the church. And he cared for them in a particular way. And there are lots of times, brothers and sisters, when we're going on a trip, think, I might need this, I might need that, maybe I would, or I just like that, or I just want that, or I just can't live without this. And we end up carrying so much stuff with us on every trip we go on, whether it's for Christ or just for our own entertainment or pleasure or business. Take a look at what you depend on. Honestly, take a look, even in your normal daily life, how many things you depend on. How many things you depend on. And when we don't like them anymore, or we have different colors, we discard, we throw away. Pope Francis talks about a throwaway culture. He said the problem now is not only are we throwing away things that could help others, but now we're throwing away the elderly and we're throwing away the babies in the womb. We're throwing away. It's a throwaway culture. Brothers and sisters, take a long look at your possessions. See what you really need and where you need to depend on Christ. You don't need 1,000 of this and 500 of that and 100 of this. You don't. You can get them, but just the fact that we can have them, do we need them? Or do I need to be spending my money on people who don't have essentials in life? I'm hoarding. I'm accumulating. Or at least I have everything I need. If you're in that position, stop. Take a look. Take an inventory. Get rid of things. Get rid of things. Give them to those who genuinely are in need. Don't just give away your surplus. Share even from what you need. And God will abundantly bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.